May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. New beginnings, really listening from the Old Testament lesson from 1 Samuel. Over 80 years ago, or even more than that, Jed Harris was a successful producer of plays. One of his most successful works was the production of Thornton Wilder's Our Town. In the middle of a lengthy season mixed with intense pressure and many, many details, Harris began to lose his sense of hearing, something that was very important for him as a producer. He could not hear other people who were close to him, and he began to miss crucial details of conversations. As a result, this Jed Harris decided to pay a visit to a renowned audiologist who listened attentively as the producer narrated the sad, declining hearing ability. He did a thorough examination of his ears, and after that, he took out of his pocket, the audiologist, a gold-plated pocket watch, and he held it against Mr. Harris's ear, and he said, "Do you hear that ticking?" And Harris said, "Yes, I hear it clearly." Then he got up and walked over to the office door and held the watch, and he said, "Can you hear it ticking now?" And Harris said, "Yes, it's still audible." And then the audiologist went into the next room, the adjoining room, and he held it up and he said, "Can you hear it now?" And stunningly, Harris said, "I can still hear it." The specialist came back into his office, sat down in the chair, returned the watch into his vest pocket, and this is what he said. "This phenomenon is quite commonplace," he said, "especially among successful individuals. Your hearing, Mr. Harris, is excellent. You've simply quit listening." Anybody ever known a person like that? How long have you been married? They don't have a hearing problem, do they? They have a listening problem. That's what we're going to talk about today. Hearing, listening. To truly appreciate our scripture, it's helpful to know the backstory. How did young Samuel come to live with Eli the priest? Well, it all started with a man named Elkanah, who we're going to call Elk from here on out. He had two wives, not a good idea. His one wife was named Hannah, and his other wife was Peninnah, who we're going to call Penny. Well, Penny gave birth to sons and daughters, but Hannah was unable to get pregnant. She was barren. And Penny would lord it over Hannah, provoking her. And you can imagine what kinds of things she might have said. "I can have children, you can't." But husband Elk showed a special love for Hannah, comforting her, saying things like, Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? On their annual trip to Shiloh, where Eli held forth as priest, Hannah poured out her heart to God in prayer. And as she prayed, she wept copiously. And she prayed this: "If you give me a son, Lord, then I will give him to you, give him back to you, to be raised and serve you all the days of his life." And the Lord God listened to that prayer. Eli saw her praying, saw her lips moving, but nothing made a sound. And he interpreted that to mean that she was drunk. And he confronted her with being drunk so early in the day. And of course she said, "I'm not drunk." And she explained to him the prayer that she had made. And so eventually Eli understood and left her with a blessing. And yes, she did become pregnant. And she gave birth to a son, Samuel. And that name means heard of God. And after he was weaned, she brought him to Eli. Now, Eli had two wicked sons who paid no attention to God's will or commandments. They cavorted with prostitutes. They took pieces of meat from the sacrifices that they had no right to take from. They lorded it over people. And what's more, Eli did not restrain them, did not discipline them. By contrast, Samuel was obedient and faithful. It was when Samuel, we surmise to be 11 or 12 years old, when the incident we heard read took place. On the third time the Lord called to him, Eli by now had figured it out. Samuel responded, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," or more aptly, listened, is listening. And the Lord tells of a terrible judgment that's going to come upon Eli and his wicked sons for all the evil that they did, and because Eli would not put the Lord first. I've often wondered this. How is it that one person can hear the word of God and grasp it, and another person, maybe sitting right next to them, can hear that same word of God and not grasp it? Jesus spoke a lot about hearing and listening. He quoted Isaiah in this very unsettling announcement: "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." Now, he spoke most of all to the Pharisees. The Pharisees who knew the word of God and yet didn't know him. They didn't recognize him even when God came to them in the person of Jesus. Now, unfortunately, I've known a couple of churchmen and churchwomen who really knew the Bible, who had great knowledge of it and intellectually could tell you what happened and what it meant. But obviously, at least to me, they didn't know God. They didn't walk in his ways. Perhaps these people that I knew were hearing but not really listening. What prevents people from really hearing, listening to God? What would you say? I think at the top of the list, no surprise here, is people's pride. Our self-love, our arrogance, our thinking we know what's right. There's no way, and hear me out on this, there's no way you're really going to hear from God if you refuse to repent. Jesus is the Savior, but if you don't need saving, if you can run your own life without Him, if you can fix whatever needs fixing in your life, if you're not loving Jesus, if you're not needing Jesus, if you're not truly worshiping Jesus, you're really not going to hear Him. You're not. Now, there's another thing that can obstruct, totally obstruct our hearing God, and that is that we don't want to hear what He tells us. And the reason is it calls for changes in our life. It requires us to go a different way. So if we're having sex before marriage, I really don't want to hear you talk about that, Pastor. I really don't want to hear what God has to say right now about that. If we're angry and we don't want to forgive someone, we really don't want to hear that God requires us to forgive others from our heart. We don't want to hear that. If we don't want to admit our lie, if we don't want to confess our theft, if we don't want to stop loving money or thinking about it all the time, and we don't really want to hear God's word. Generally speaking, if we just want to live our lives the way we want to, regardless of what God might have to say, then we're not going to hear Him. We're not. In my children's sermon this morning, I had a big microphone. Do I still have it? Yeah, I brought this out. And I said, children, did your parents ever say, clean up your room, pick up those toys? And they all said no at first, and then, don't lie in church. Yes, 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 yes. And I said, you know, this is what parents need, right? They need a mind. Children, pick up your toys. And if it's loud enough, right, they'll hear you, right? No. My children did this. Well, we didn't hear you. We didn't hear you. Now, they heard, they weren't listening. They weren't listening because why? Because they didn't want to do what we wanted them to do. And as far as I was concerned, I was God to my children, and you know, when they were little. They didn't always accept that. Then there's another thing hindering us from hearing God. It's because we're so busy and we're so distracted. Jesus said, interpreting the parable of the sower, that when the word of God, the seed, falls among the thorns, they are people who have so many worries, and because of the deceitfulness of wealth, because they're so busy, the word doesn't grow. They're not really hearing. It's all choked out. There's another thing that prevents us, a final thing that I want to mention. In this account of Eli and Samuel, it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Do you catch that? The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Samuel was under the direct tutelage of Eli all his young life. Had Eli failed Samuel along with his two sons? God has given parents a sacred duty to raise their children to know Him and the Savior Jesus. It is a sacred duty. We do this when we have them as minors. When they grow up and on their own, well, we hope they'll do that with their own children. But then they're out of our influence to a large degree. Right? I'll tell you this, it comes with a warning, this sacred duty. If you have children and you don't follow this, just like with Eli, there will be an accounting someday. If you have children, commit this day to do whatever it takes to expose them to our Savior and Lord, to teach them God's word. However you can do it. I know what we did as parents. We had a lot of books, religious, the stories of the Bible. We read to them constantly. There's a lot of things out there now. With my grandchildren, I've listened to this Boz. It's a DVD, Boz, and he gives good lessons. And when they come over, I want to listen to Boz, you know. And there's VeggieTales. There's all kinds of things to help you raise your children to know the Lord. And I commend you who bring your children to church. I commend you but it's what you should be doing. It's a sacred duty that God gives us. So let me ask you now, how do we really listen and understand the voice of God? As I've pointed out, I hope you've gotten it. There's a big difference between hearing and listening. Right? If we're really going to listen to God, then you must have an expectation that he speaks. Luther said this about the Bible. You can read it as just words and thoughts on a page, and you can study it intellectually and know what it is saying, and yet completely miss it. You need, he says, to read with your heart, with the Holy Spirit opening it up to you, illuminating it. For there is a message beneath these words that is so powerful and so exciting and so moving that you will thirst for more. And so if I could be so bold here, this is how you should listen to a sermon. With expectation. We pastors are giving you God's word. Get enough sleep. I have to admit, I didn't last night because we had gone out. And it showed in my earlier sermon this morning. Get enough sleep. Come ready to really listen. Because I'm telling you, every sermon that Pastor Travis and Pastor Scove and all the lay preachers and I preach, there is something God is telling you, individually, you, through every message that we preach. It may be the same thing that someone else is getting, but it's for you. Remember, faith comes from hearing the word of God, Romans 10:7. But that only comes from listening, not just hearing it, listening. God speaks to us also through other people. Listen to godly people. Seek out their wisdom. In fact, surround yourself with godly people who know God's word and be skeptical of those who don't know God's word. Be skeptical of their advice. The wisdom of this world, it says in the Bible, is foolishness. It didn't say knowledge, it said wisdom of this world. But I guess we can say the wisdom of this world is foolishness. But godly people have true wisdom. So if you want advice about things, know from where it's coming from. Seek out godly advice. God can also speak through our experiences. The good, the bad, and the ugly experiences. Major objection to Christian faith is this: how can a good God let such terrible things happen? I hope you've grown long enough in the Christian faith to know this, that when you suffer, when things are a reversal for you that are not going right, what generally happens to your spiritual life? You grow. You come to the Lord with prayer, you struggle with His presence in your life. In fact, the tough times in life is when you grow the most. So whatever experience you have, now of course, I like to think I grow a lot when good things are happening to me too. Because I give thanks to God, because I know all things come from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. God disciplines those whom He loves. I always thought, man, that sounds harsh. But then you realize when God disciplines us, it's so that we're closer and closer to Him. He loves. He loves us so much that He grants us worldly blessings and spiritual ones in abundance. Now, God knows us. He knows what we need. Jesus died on a cross because that's our first and primary need of our life, is His forgiveness and His righteousness. And when you're right with God through faith in Him, all other things can be right. So let us, you and me, be people who really listen. Not just hear, but really listen. And let's join with little Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." In Jesus' name and to His glory, amen. Amen. Amen.